Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Junior's ready. Stand by.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Bolts and Bourbon. I'm Frank Gao, joined by my co-host, Matt Gunlock. Today, our guest is Brendan Souder. He is the owner of Range Project Group International, or RPGI for short. We've had him on before. He is the host of the Day and Night Match that goes on in Shadowhawk in West Virginia, but he also owns a range in Pensacola and hosts USPSA matches, major matches. He travels internationally. So a lot of great stuff. Formerly a chief warrant officer in the Army. So Brendan, thank you for your time and glad to be able to talk to you again.
Thank you guys. Yeah, I'm happy to be back on the show. And again, yeah, if you're in this area, I mean, I think we're pretty much the biggest show in town. We run USPSA, Two Gun, just started PCSL, nighttime matches. We run matches internationally and we're going to talk about all that. So it'd be good.
You know, kind of going into that, you know, mentioning all the different stuff that you do run, you've had a really busy season. Like you'll be in West Virginia, you know, at one point, and then you're going to the next week and you're going to be at another match. And you're in West Virginia match directing. And then the following week you're out competing. So with as busy of a season that you have, how do you decide which major matches that you want to attend? And do you even get a training cycle before the majors that you do attend?
That's a great question. So what I always like to do is, I like to try to find something that's within like 8 to 10 hours away so I can drive to it. And then what I'll try to do like the week before is I'll try to get in like 2 days of training, you know, depends. I'm usually training with other people and like making sure everybody else is like taken care of, but I'll maybe get like a day to 2 days of training where I get out and I hit a couple stages and I'll do some drills or whatnot, make sure my gun works. And the ammo that I'm shooting is good. And that's kind of it. I mean, that's been about the format. Coming in, get some rest, rinse off, and then go out and train for like 1 or 2 days and then go and get after it again. But yeah, it's busy. It's really busy.
Yeah. No. I remember what it was like on the shooting team. And it's like, it was like leave Thursday, come back Tuesday, or come back Monday, sometimes Tuesday, and then you're back out that Thursday again. It's like, is this cycle ever going to end? And, you know, you honestly do have a lot of fun because you're interacting with a lot of people. You're just having fun, but it's, yeah. I mean, you have to be very picky with who you go to, where you go and what you do. I mean, you're giving your hard earned money up. So you want to make sure it's worth your while.
Yeah. If it's something like in Alabama, Florida, you know, all the Southeast, it's usually like a no brainer for me. Like I'll take that trip. And, you know, the other thing depends on what my teammates want to do. And if some of my teammates have an idea, they want to shoot a match somewhere, then we'll put together, you know, a trip and then we'll go and travel and do that. So I've been trying to basically hit a major match every month. And that's not been my idea. That's actually my junior shooter's kind of plan from the beginning of the year, is hit a major match every month to kind of get, you know, stress inoculated to that whole big match concept. So with that, you know, it's either running a match once or twice a month, shooting one or two locals a month, and then shooting a major match once a month. So it's a lot of trigger pressing, that's for sure.
No, and that's awesome. And like, you know, you bring in your junior shooter up, Ashleen. That's one I'll say that's commendable. I don't think we do enough sometimes for the junior shooters and raising them properly. Like the parents are always involved, obviously. But to have the direction that you're going and the way you're taking it, like just mentoring her the way you are, like that's huge. And that's going to pay dividends in the future for her and her development. And just knowing what is somebody who is invested in me and what is somebody who's not necessarily invested in me. Like it teaches her those differences. So that's big. But how did you two meet, and can you describe that process of mentoring and training a new shooter into the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started running matches out at which was called Southern Tactical Range in Holt, Florida, hell, probably 2019. And, you know, I had RPGI going, it's up and running. And all of a sudden, there was this little blonde haired teenager that would show up and be just super driven to try to do like really good, you know. And, you know, from the very beginning, I was like, man, who's that kid? Like, that kid has the aggressive, you know, the aggression of a Ranger private, you know. You're like, you know, running the gun, like whether it's a rifle or pistol, and just taking every course of fire, you know, like there's no tomorrow. And I thought that, I was like, man, I was super impressed, you know. And at the time, she was training with a buddy of mine who, you know, he was good in a local two gun circuit. And, you know, later as she kept shooting our matches, and our matches became more serious, where it was from Steel Challenge to USPSA. Finally, her parents were like, hey, will you coach her? Will you coach her and train her and kind of go down the line with her, you know, make her champion? And, when I heard that, I was actually, you know, super flattered that they would pick me to like train her. So from there, you know, we started training out at the farm. My farm is in Dufuniak Springs. It's actually, it's probably about an hour from that original range in Holt. And, you know, again, action bays all over the place, all the stages already set up. So imagine you show up to a range where you can hit stages all day long and just keep repping them out over and over again. By the end of the day, you've shot 20 or 30 stages, you know, three different ways. You're down 1,000 rounds of ammunition and you're smoked out of your mind. And this kid has showed up from the very beginning. You know, I say kid, young lady now, she's 17, super good head on her shoulders, man. And just done the work, you know, and really done the work. She's the most coachable person that I've ever trained with. You know, I could make one critique, you know, that's super nitpicky, and then she'll apply it to the next course of fire and like ask like, hey, was that good? I'm like, yeah, that was perfect. So really fun to coach, really fun to train with out here, and then really, really fun to go out and compete with, because she literally has the drive. Like I said, as like a Ranger private trying to do really good, you know, and just super cool kid, man. Really, really happy that she's actually part of the team. And the other thing is that she does, you know, I'm teaching her how to do, you know, how to do stats, how to, you know, run matches and stuff. So she's involved with a lot of the things that we do, as in like a lot of things with our staff as well. So we have a team full of guys and gals that are our, you know, USPSA certified ROs. They can train, you know, their instructors and all that. So she's going down through the wickets. She's an RO. She's an assistant instructor. And, you know, now she's able to do stats and stuff like that for the match. So if you come up to the match in West Virginia, she'll probably be the stats officer there at the table. So you can get to ask her some questions. But yeah, really, really, really good kid. Can't say enough, man. And like I said, if I say kid, she's probably going to try to beat my ass out here. But young lady, you know, and she could hang with the best of them, man. She's a terror here in the panhandle. So that's it.
Yeah. Real quick, just an anecdote. When we first ran into you guys, Cardi B, Josh Cardenas, was convinced that was like actually your daughter. And I was like, yeah, well, it'd be really weird if he kept referring to his own daughter as his junior shooter. So I don't think it's his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that like 100 times. It's like, hey, is this your dad? I'm like, man, I look old. No, I'm not her dad.
Okay. Now that you brought the whole dad thing up, I was actually talking to Chris Scott, and I know Brandon, you haven't met Chris Scott. I don't know if you're familiar with who he was. He was one of the OICs on the shooting team, and we're actually down there in Frostproof, Florida. And we went to a restaurant, and at the time I had a shaved face and everything, and we're sat down at the restaurant, and you know, we both asked for a beer. She asked Chris for his ID. You know, he was 26, 27 at the time. You know, I was 36, 37 at the time. And yeah. I was like, what, you're not going to ask me? She's like, I thought you were his dad. I'm like, whoa. I was like, you know, and after that, like, we were just joking around, but we made her feel so horrible. Like, and we didn't mean to make her feel horrible. She felt really bad after that, though. Like,
oh, dude.
So yeah, I know the whole dad thing and looking old, especially with all the grays that are coming in now.
oh man, I can't get rid of him. I'm like, I'm just gonna let him go. I was like trimming one of them out, and I'm like, no, nah, it's all good. I look distinguished. I'm fine with it.
Yep, I can give a shit less at this point. It's like I'm gonna show my age. So like we talked about how busy you are, and you know, we're coming up near the end of the year, and as you're building out 2024, how many large events do you have blocked out already? And with some major matches still pending dates, how long will you wait before committing to travel?
So I'm working on my 2024 calendar right now. I have, in the very beginning of the year, I have a match in Trinidad Tobago. It's the first international PCSL match, right? It's a PCSL one gun. That's going to happen January 20th, right before SHOT Show. And then after that, we have Shooting International Open in February, which is a major match. And then March, the soft match, which I would consider it a major match because there's about 100 shooters that attend that. And it's a lot of logistics, props, and all this other stuff. After that, so that's what we count in three. And we have the nine banger rifle match that's in June. It's rifles only, so AR-15, PCCs, and that's a USPSA level two. So far, those are the four. I have another match that is pending conversations with USPSA. I want to call it the Low Light Nationals or Blackout Nationals, where we do, you know, 10 like in the dark stages for USPSA, make it a level two or level three, and be the first guy that does nighttime shooting for a major match for USPSA. That's kind of the goal right now.
That'd be really cool. That'd be fun.
Right. So I talked to Troy about this when he was up here with Dan Bernard doing an RO course. We had dinner, had a couple of drinks here at the bar at Cafe Nola in the Funiac Springs. And, you know, I sent him an email before. He didn't really get to it. And I just straight up popped the question, like, hey, I have this idea. I've run at this time, I think 20 night matches or something. I'm like, hey, man, I think I could do it. I think I could pull this off. So he's like, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing in the rule book that says you have to have, you know, the stages in the daytime. So, you know, shooters can wear night vision or they could put a headlamp on. If their division calls for it, you could put a weapon mount light on your handgun and you could have that in your division, then by all means, right? So basically saying that we could do kind of like what we're doing in the day and night match, but we could do it as a sanctioned USPSA major match and to be the first guys to actually do it. So that's my goal.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds really fun. I'd be interested in going out to that.
Absolutely. Now we just got to find a range to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that shooting at night at your match and also like white light in general, the Marine Corps shooting team's done some of those events and that's been some of the most fun I've ever had. Before I get into some of the other questions, you mentioned PCSL real quick. When did you start adopting PCSL and what's been the general reception in your local community?
So I talked to Max via email a couple times and I was trying to find something to move I wanted to do a two gun match, but I wanted to use Hit Factor and I wanted it to be, you know, like sanctioned, but, you know, have a rule set that was already made. So when I kept looking at PCSL, I was like, well, man, this actually looks pretty cool. Like I can keep the shooters honest by keeping Hit Factor scoring. And then now I have a set of rules that I could apply to it. And you only need I have one bay right now that's 150 yards at the farm. I'm going to have another bay that's 150 yards. So it's essentially like USPSA, but with two guns. And I thought that was actually really cool. So, you know, and having the ability to incorporate PCCs as, you know, your primary, your rifle and that. So that's kind of why I started doing that for two gun. And the big push for PCSL was in Trinidad Tobago, this club that is very, very good at running events. They had been running only outlaw matches because the IPSC director in Trinidad Tobago will not sanction any of their matches. And there's some personal beef there. So I thought, like, hey, why don't I take PCSL down to the Caribbean? And there's no IPSC director that can deny that. They can't say, hey, you can't run this. And then they can be sanctioned by the rule set, the PCSL rule set. All you got to do is buy the targets. He doesn't ask for a match fee. You don't have to pay $1.50 per. You don't have to ask permission. You just use the rules and the targets and you can run it. And the divisions are actually really neat. Like they're not, I would say they're not complicated, right? If you've ever seen it. And we don't know everything about it yet. We're still learning, by the way, but I think it's actually a good start in a direction for an alternative to, hey, well, maybe I don't want to do USPSA or I don't want to do IPSC, you know, and let's do this. And in their case, I want to take something in and I want to free the shooters, man. Like, that's it. I want to give the shooters what they want. If there's an IPSC director that has a hard on for a club in the Caribbean, and you know, we've already contacted, you know, IPSC leadership, and IPSC leadership met with us in Chacho, and they weren't interested, man. You know, this club is running matches with 100 shooters plus, and they're not even sanctioned matches. So, you know, IPSC not stepping in and like having, you know, the wherewithal to like, hey, fix the regional director so that this club can actually bring in more money for IPSC. You know, they're missing out on, you know, fees and all this other stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the shooters, man. So I think the PCSL is a good league for the shooters. And it's also one of those, if you're a fence sitter, you don't know about shooting a match, you know, this is one of those ones where it's like, hey, it's not so USPSA, not so IPSC. You know, you don't have the FUDs yelling at you, all those things. So it's a little bit more loose, and it's still safe. It's still really safe. It's just a little bit looser on the rules. So, okay, I said a lot of things, but that's pretty much it.
Hey, yeah. Real quick. And do you know a Ryan Best that lives down there in Trinidad?
I know a Roger Best.
Okay. I don't think
he might be related. There's only one Best family in Trinidad and Tobago, and they're probably related.
Okay. Yeah, I know he's a guy who I met him shooting Bianchi back in 2018, and I know he does a lot of IPSC stuff out there. So I was just curious.
Ryan Best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll probably write that down and get back to you on that.
I think at the core, though, what's drawing people to PCSL is people want hit factor rifle. Like, people want to shoot their ARs fast, and they want hit factor. They want hit factor scores. And I mean, Time Plus is still a fun format, but I think there's some people who generally like the points over time formula has proven time like over and over again. The Marine Corps teams adopted it in many ways, and that's the way PCSL. And yeah, it takes a little longer to score. And another part of it too is those targets, man. Like, those are it. You can tell that it's a rule set designed by a competitor, because that target is difficult, and it gives you options, and it punishes you for some of the sloppy shooting that you could probably get away with the USPSA target, but also in other formats. So, yeah.
I like it. Go ahead. I like it a lot, man, because there's a K zone. Like, if you hit the K zone, that's 2 alpha. Mm-hmm. That's 10 points. The other thing about it is, like, you know, if you look at some of these matches, one of the things as a match director that drives me fucking crazy is, like, you know, you'll do 10 stages and then chrono. And honestly, man, like, I don't never accuse anybody of this. I run all my major matches without chrono just because it wastes, for me, and this is a personal opinion, I don't want to stir any shit, but I waste like 2 or 3 guys running a chrono, man. And then and then I lag the match because people run chrono, and people will give up ammo. And like, we're military guys, man. We're going to do what's right. Our integrity is always intact. But, you know, I've heard stories. No, dude, no. So it's like somebody gives up 8 rounds and it's like, yeah, I'm going to give these 8 rounds up so I can make chrono. And then you listen to him shoot and you're like, dude, you must be shooting like right on the edge of sub minor, you know, and there's nobody that's going to check them on that shit. You know, the targets have been calibrated to where you could just tap it and falls over. Of course, if you're shooting 120, 115 power factor being a dirtbag, it's going to fall over. You call for calibration. Guess what? The RM's power factor, they have special ammo. Like, it's bottom line is what I'm saying is, like, some of the things about the PCSL is it cleans that up. So it doesn't matter if you shoot, you know, major or not, major minor, it's the same. Like, that hit factor stays the same for handgun. And like, you know, like Frank was saying, dude, yeah, rifle hit factor. That to me, as a guy was like in a CPB company in the CRIF, like, I'd like people being accountable for their shots. I like people, like, realistically, if you shoot a human in the head, like, that's a neutralized target. So if you shoot a K zone on a PCSL target, that's 10 points, bro, you're done. Move on, you know? Yeah. So it's got some good stuff about it. I think So I'm excited for it. And like I said, I don't know everything about it just yet. I'm still learning, but I'm definitely want to bring that to Trinidad and in other countries so they don't have to deal with the tyranny of the regional IPSC director, because that shit can get wild. I'm
Yeah,
telling you, it can
that's
get wild.
crazy, dude. Yeah, local politics, man.
It
but
is.
Yeah, running PCSL up in Quantico has been a huge hit, to the point where we're half USPSA and half PCSL.
Nice.
And some people have come up to me and be like, dude, you could go all PCSL, I wouldn't care. We'll see what the future holds. But bringing the conversation back to USPSA and IPSC, so you've done both, and it sounds like you are very involved in both. You've done some IPSC internationally, so having shot those formats, what aspects of each organization would you prefer? And you can just talk about the sport or just the culture, whatever. Would you want to see like kind of merge or blend into each other?
I think the thing about IPSC, you know, it's an international, like you could find IPSC in every country. One of the things that when I was in the military, I would always try to find like an IPSC club to go shoot the local matches. And you would always find, you know, the local power brokers. So, you know, senators, judges, you know, people who are really high up. And it was a good rapport building thing where you could meet people and then make those relationships. And oh, by the way, I'm the guy from the embassy, or I'm the guy on this mission. I brought the black helicopters with me. So I thought that was cool, you know, and IPSC and these other countries, just so you guys know, like there aren't many people that are like middle class that shoot guns competitively, because that shit is expensive and it's hard to do in these other countries. So you do see the high end, you know, wealthy people shooting these sports. IPSC has some really cool stuff about it. The IPSC target, if you shoot it, I think it's a little bit harder than the USPSA. The scoring zones, I think it's like a 40% smaller scoring zone for the A. I think that for me, I like using IPSC targets, because if you bag an IPSC target, you know, the head doesn't melt. It's just an IPSC turtle target. But the things that are cool, I think, as a match director, is they have a format. It's a 3-2-1 format, you know, where, you know, you have to have a certain amount of these type of courses, you know, so it follows that format. So you don't have like, you know, a bunch of long courses. It's always pretty easy to tell like who's designing, and, you know, you'll get some medium courses, some short courses, and long courses. And I think that's a good thing. One of the things that drives me crazy about IPSC that I love about USPSA is when you get to make ready, in IPSC, if you shoot a handgun, you cannot like put your sight on any of the targets in the course of fire. You could turn it on and like point it towards the ground, but after that, that's it. So, you know, these guys, they're not, you know, mean or anything like that, but it's a lot more strict. The other thing is you can't bend your body or like indicate towards, you know, you kind of like get your feet on the X and start indicating towards the position you're going to run to first. You can't do any of that stuff. You got to stand erect, and it's, you know, it looks like super Presbyterian, the Frozen Chosen. So it's like, all right, USPSA, a little bit more liberal, right? So you can do those things. And then IPSC, they don't allow handguns to mix with rifles. So you'll shoot it in the match, but those results come out differently for the most part. And they use a couple different scoring systems. I personally love practice score. I think practice score is amazing as a guy that shoots, to be able to check my scores, and a guy who runs matches, and then, you know, the technology of that, bringing it into the tablets. You can use practice score for IPSC, but 9 times out of 10, these guys will use a different scoring system. And in Brazil, they had a thing called Shooting House, some kind of system that was tied to this network. And every time you pushed a button to approve the score, it would upload. And it was just very, very different to me. But I like the fact that both of them have similar rules. You know, USPSA is a baby of IPSC. You know, the USPSA president is the regional director for IPSC in the United States. So USPSA is kind of like the bastard child of IPSC, you know, with different rules. But yeah, it's slightly different. So, you know, the divisions kind of work out. You know, they have a standard optics now, which is a provisional division, like our limited optics. They have a production optics, which is really, you know, it's kind of, it looks like carry optics, but it's 15 rounds instead of like, you know, the magazine length of 140 or whatever it is. So there's some nuanced differences. And man, when you're an American, you go to another country and you shoot, 9 times out of 10, they're going to help you out. You know, the belt setup and everything has to be different. Like you have to have your magazines like along your not far past your hip line. There's just definitely some things about it. But what I want to do, I think, being selfish and being a person that's trying to mastermind all these crazy matches, I want to bring people from other countries, like, to our spot, places I've already been, invite these guys up, like, have a really cool match where they have a good time, and then, like, take them up here at this bar or Cafe Nola, buy them drinks, and just have a fucking good time, man. And then I want the people that are here in the States to experience, you know, like, hey, you don't know anything about Colombia, why don't you talk to this guy from Colombia and ask him about shooting? Or you don't, you know, this guy's from the islands, like, why don't you talk to him? And I want to create that, like, social mixer of a match. So the Shooting International Open is exactly what that is. That's how we're going to take that. And originally it was going to be an IPSC level 3. I changed it to a level 2 USPSA so I could stick with, you know, things that I already know how to do. Mm-hmm. And I was getting way out of my fucking league there for a second. So I had to bring it back. So.
Gotcha. While we're on the topic, I mean, you're putting on that match. That sounds like a really great time. I'm going to talk to the guys in the team again and see if any of them are available to make the trip down. But what else do you have going on locally and also internationally? You mentioned Trinidad, but I mean, we know you've always got something cooking.
Yeah. So January 20th, this is like the week before SHOT Show. I've got about 20 Americans. I got the Green Ops guys coming down with me. Dude. So part of the Green Ops guys are coming down. I got Josh, Chris Alvarez. I think they have a female, Stephanie Martz, I think her name is. And, you know, just a lot of really cool guys coming down to shoot this. And there are some big time shooters that are trying to get in on this. Like, hey, man, how do I get to Trinidad? What's the deal? So I'm taking about 20 to 30 Americans down. I'll have a staff that's going to be one American, one Trini per stage. And then we're going to shoot 10 stages. We're calling it the PCSL Caribbean Championship, January 20th. It's a weekend before SHOT Show. So, you know, SHOT Show, I think, starts on the Tuesday afterwards. And then our match is January 20th. It's a Saturday. It's 10 stages shot in one day. And what's cool about this place, man, you know, you get here, you know, it's a whole experience. Trinidad, the island, the food is great. The people are warm. I think that the culture is definitely ripe for sports shooting tourism. That's what they call it. It's like shooting sports tourism. Mm-hmm. And we've run two matches down there so far. And man, they are just so, so good to us. Mark and Anna Hernandez from MH Tactical. And they're going to give us a range for what, 3 or 4 days. We're going to set up. We're going to shoot this match. There's going to be a party on the range afterwards. Like, the party is amazing. Like, they hire DJs and they have, you know, Caribbean rum and all this other stuff. Nice. I'm going to be like, you know, the guy that's trying to be responsible, obviously, because I feel responsible for all the Americans. So I won't be drinking, but definitely we'll be trying to make sure everybody has a good time and then get everybody back safe, you know, kind of like the mission. Right. But it's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be the first PCSL match held like internationally, and we're going to do it. So that's the plan.
Yeah. Super cool, man. That's I might go talk to the wife and see if I can. It sounds like a lot of people are trying to get in, but is there even room available at this point?
There is. And what happens down there is kind of like, they're kind of like panhandle people. I love my panhandle people. They're not like you guys up in Northern Virginia and Maryland. I mean, I think you guys filled up the day and night match as soon as I opened it. But down here, people were like, yeah, man, I'm going to shoot that match. And then they'll wait and they'll sign up like the freaking 2 days before the match. But so far, I think we have, we got like 50 some people signed up, but it's going to be 120 shooters on a Saturday, basically. And we want to make it nice and clean, run smooth, and then, you know, kind of take it from there. The countries that will be showing up, we'll have Jamaica, we'll have Barbados, Suriname, Guyana. Who was the other country? Well, there's a few others, but basically all the Caribbean countries. And then we got a guy coming from Colombia, and then we got two guys coming from Brazil. So we'll have an international flavor as well, man. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I'll be out there translating for all the guys that speak Spanish only. So
gotcha.
It'll be good.
Are you fluent in Spanish?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Very, very neat, dude. Man, that does really sound like a good time. But Speaking of good times, you're about to run your third iteration of the day and night match. Well, I mean, the first time it was just the night match, right? But yeah. I guess it's day and night version two. So coming back to Shadowhawk, and the last one was an absolute banger, even though we shot it in April and it got dark real late. We all had a really great time. We're at the point where the match is filling up really quick and you got two entire squads of Marine Corps now. So what can we expect for this next iteration of Day and Night?
So what we wanted to do in this one, we wanted seven stages in a day. There would be kind of like last time, where there's some physical props in there, you know, maybe do a couple of deadlifts to smoke you up a little bit before you hit the stage, some prop guns, you know, anything from like, I mean, I think we have a lever action gun coming in.
Hell yeah.
You know, something wild, you know, so we'll have some of that going on. You guys will shoot a shotgun, a lever action, a couple handguns, you know, just some random things. And then you'll shoot a stage, just much like a USPSA stage, you know, like no more than 20 rounds. We'll do that all day. And then you guys will go to intermission. We'll take all the physical stuff and all the prop guns out. And then you guys will straight shoot those stages, you know, as is at night. And then, you know, kind of do that. And then that's 14 total stages. So if you're shooting two divisions, that's 28 stages on the day.
Dude.
It can be done, right?
Hey. It can be. Actually, I would credit the last one with getting Sam and I ready for Dragon's Cup, because day and night was such an endurance fest. Like, I shot two divisions. I shot in the day and at the night, rifle and pistol. By the time we got to Dragon's Cup, everyone's in their feelings because it was a long day and sandstorm. We're just like, whatever, fuck it, we ball. Like, we're good. So I'd say, like, you know, the conditions were perfect and the way your staff ran it was perfect. It was just the sheer amount of shooting and the amount of time you had to stay focused.
Yeah.
It's really, really helpful. But yeah, it sounds like this one's going to be an absolute banger as well.
And we're trying to have like this, we got a bunch of vendors that are coming out. So you know, the part of the job as a match director is you try to bring people out to help enhance the experience for shooters. And like, we don't ever want the sponsors to be like we don't want to put too much on the sponsors. We're like, hey, this is a critical part. If we don't get this, then the match is going to suck. Like, I learned that lesson like early on, you know, and it's these guys that run these companies, honestly, they got a lot of shit going on. So it's really hard for them. They say, yes, hey, we want to support you, and you got to stay on them, right? You got to stay on them because they have other things going on. Like, I'm having this space that like we're providing that will actually have them a chance to like interact with the shooters. If you shot in South Carolina, I think Tom Castro did a really good job. I don't know Tom personally or anything like that, but when he went to South Carolina, you had to get a punch on a ticket that put you in a raffle drawing. I don't know if we're going to do that, but we've actually created a situation that like you guys will have one squad out at all times, right? Mm-hmm. So that squad will have a chance to interact, get some chow, hang out. So I'm putting all the chow, all the vendors in the same spot. And then making it where like, hey, like go out and talk to these guys, you know, go do a demo, go look at the night vision, go look at the suppressors from Boss, those kinds of things. So like, we're trying to get that together, you know, however that materializes, like that's going to be a lot on me and like organizing and kind of reining in the companies. And they've been great, by the way. Like, none of the companies have been kind of hard to work with, but they've been great, man. So we're going to try to do that, replicate that South Carolina feel. Which I'm stealing that from Tom Castro. I just won't do the punch thing. And then these guys are gonna, the way I made it seem was like, hey, you know, you don't really have to donate anything to the prize table, but all these guys have said they're gonna do it. They're like, hey man, we're gonna put some stuff on the prize table. That way, when you guys are at the end of the match and you're dog ass tired, your name gets called, you may win a pistol or a suppressor or, you know, some ammo, whatever it is. So we do that for the shooters, man. I think that's gonna continue throughout. And as you saw, like the first place guy doesn't win a bunch of stuff. I like it that a guy who placed 82nd could win a handgun, you know, and not be discouraged, come back out and put it out there in the line again. So I think that's how we do business. I know we're different from others, and that's how we do things. We're going to continue that as well.
Yeah. You know, that prize table, I thought the prize tables in the past were great. You know, there was, I think, great representation of local companies. You know, XCal was out there, Green Ops supported. But really, man, it was the competition, and it was the ROs that you drew into your orbit. And you know, the first one we did, you were RO. We were spoiled as fuck. Like, that was an awesome experience. And then we had Chris Spence on the next one. And
oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. It was like so enthusiastic and just like, you know, kept it going the entire time through. And man, I can't say enough good things about your staff, because, you know, as difficult as it is for us as shooters to shoot 24, 28 stages, man, those ROs are just going. It's just one of them too. One of them per squad.
Yeah.
They're running every single shooter through, man. Those guys are beasts.
You know, Chris is famous, right?
I mean, he's famous to me, but sorry, he's like actually famous?
No, he's on the documentary Shooting International. So
okay.
It's really weird. Like the way I met Chris was like, I was putting on the Shooting International match and I had to film in Trinidad for the documentary. And just randomly this guy hits me up. He's like, hey man, you know, I want to shoot in Trinidad. You know, I'm from Trinidad originally. Mm-hmm. And he's going through all this stuff. He's super cool, man. So I just get on a phone call with him, and dude, right away, man, just positive vibes right away. You know, I tried to take care of him, get him down there to the match. MH Tactical took care of him, get down the match. This guy comes down, he does the interviews with me. It was a walking in Port of Spain. I think we went to Haagen-Dazs for a first interview filming, and just told me his life story. This guy's from New York, so he's obviously dealing with a lot of like irate gun laws and things that they got to deal with. And he still gets it done, man. He still gets it done.
Yeah.
He comes out, shoots the match, and he runs into his, I guess would be his ROTC, you know, equivalent instructor from like 20, 30 years ago, you know, and it was just like, they hit it off. It was crazy, man. So Spence is a good, good guy, man. He's my brother from another mother, man. And like I said, ever since he's come around, and I've valued him very much, man. Very, yeah. Very much.
So. Yeah. Great dude. He always travels down here. Like a lot of our local majors or just majors in our area. He was at Virginia State. He came right through when I was working it. So yeah, the guy is, being from New York is definitely difficult, but he definitely makes it work. So Dave, we've talked a lot of stuff, Brendan. Anything else that you want to cover before we jump off?
Yeah, man. So, you know, again, these big matches, one of the things that we're trying to do for us is like, we're trying to get a lot of like people to kind of be aware of like what it is that we're doing, you know? So, you know, we have our USPSA stuff, and then we're trying to do like this soft match and everything. You know, I would just say, you know, if there's people out there that are wondering like about what we're doing, follow the club on Practice Score and then follow us on Instagram. I usually try to do a really good job of like putting stuff out on that. Like, it's not the best, but I think it seems to be like the mechanism for letting guys and gals know. And then, you know, if you're shooting the night match coming up here in West Virginia, man, do everybody a favor. If you listen to this and shooting the match, go by and thank Randy and Lynn. I didn't really get to say much about them, but I could tell you what, those guys, like the very first time I ran a match, like they were really, really good to me. Like they researched me. They didn't just let me run up there and do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. They're not fly by the seat of the pants people. They're very well thought out people. And I'm very fortunate that like I have those guys like in my corner when it comes to running this match. And I intend on making those guys proud and having that range. So if you're shooting the match, you're shooting day and night match, make sure that if you see Randy and Lynn, that you thank them, shake their hand for letting us bring the experience to you guys. So they're very, very important to me. And I want people to thank them if they can. So
yeah,
that's it.
Shadowhawk does a lot of great things for the shooting sports and also the general community. But yeah, hey, if you're one of our listeners and you are down at the Panhandle in the Pensacola area, hit Brendan up. He runs a lot of matches down there. If you live in the Northern Virginia area or just in general, like our area, are there any spots available for day and night, or are we all?
I think we have 6 left, but they would have to shoot with the staff on the Friday.
Okay. There are, I highly recommend if your schedule allows for it, sign up for the match. You won't be disappointed. Really, really great experience. It's an instant register for all of us and on the Marine Corps side. As soon as that pops up, something I've blocked out my calendar for like, you know, like 6 months, a year in advance. And also like, if you are shooting it, come up and talk to me and Matt. Matt and I will be shooting on the Marine Corps 2.0 squad. And we'd love to talk to our listeners. But to those of you listening, we enjoy you. We hope you enjoyed this particular episode. And then we'll catch you on the next one. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.